A reading from 1 Thessalonians. We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do this.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the 25th chapter. A man went on a journey, and he entrusted his belongings to his slaves. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, to another he gave 1 talent, each according to their ability. And then he went away. Well, the one who'd received 5 talents went out immediately and traded with it and made 5 more. And the one who received 2 talents did the same, went out, traded it, and made 2 more talents. The one who received 1 talent went and dug a hole and hid it in the ground. After a long time, the master came back and settled accounts, gathered his slaves. And the one who had received 5 talents came forward and said, Master, you handed out 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. And the master said, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been faithful over a few things. Now you will be set in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the second slave, who had received 2 talents, came forward and said the same thing. Master, you handed out 2 talents, and here I have made 2 more. And the master said, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a little. Now you will be set over a great deal. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the slave who had received 1 talent came forward and said, Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, gathering where you did not scatter and reaping where you did not sow. So I was afraid. So I went and hid your money. So here's what is yours. And the master said, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I didn't sow? Then you should have invested my money at the bank and made interest. Take the talent away from this one and give it to the one who has 10. For I tell you, to those who have much, more will be given. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, this one ought to be thrown out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is a story about money. Jesus told stories and talked and prayed about money more than any other thing, because money, more than any other thing, is where our hang-ups hang up. It's in our relationship with money that we confront our own functional atheism. We say we believe in God, but we act like people who don't. We're not any more generous. We're not any more trusting. We don't act as if we belong to God who will provide for us. We sound a lot like that one slave who said, "Well, you're pretty harsh. I think things are going to go badly. I'm kind of desperate. I'm afraid." When we talk about money, that's how we get. We work at becoming more stingy and more afraid, not more generous. The thing is, that slave had it backwards. The master was not harsh. He didn't sow where he failed to reap. In fact, he gave away all of his money. He gave it to those slaves, and they got money that wasn't theirs to play with. There was no reason for him to be afraid. At the end of this service, you're going to be invited, among other things, to bring forward your financial pledge for 2015. As you do that, think about this question. What would your life look like? What would your spending look like if you actually believed that your money was actually God's? All of it. The money you earn, the money your money earns, the money that you've gotten through various arrangements, the money that somebody gave you, the money that you found on the street, all of it is not yours. It's God's. What would your spending look like if you really believed that all of your money was God's? How would God spend it? That's all I'm going to say about money, because this is not a story about money. It's a story about you. It's a story about who you are. All of your gifts, not just some coins that somebody gave you, but who you are is God's, and it is God's gift to the world. Your faith, your sense of humor, your patience, your love, your forgiveness, your courage, all of those things are God's gifts to you for the sake of the world. The courage with which you meet your challenges, the integrity with which you make your way through confusing and challenging life, the fierce beauty with which you bear your sorrows, the splendid curiosity with which you approach this world of wonders, the deep heartbreaking love that you have for all those whom you love, that's not yours. It's God's. God has given those gifts to you for the sake of the world. Your entire life is like a gourmet dinner that the chef has handed you, the waiter, not to eat, but to serve. It's a package that God has given you as a UPS driver to go deliver. All of your life is God's gift for the world, for the sake of changing and blessing and healing the world. If you're like a lot of people, when you hear that, you think, well, yeah, but I'm one of those who just got one coin. I didn't get... There are people who have 10 times as many gifts as I do. There's something you need to understand about this parable. This little gold coin, this is not a talent. Okay? That's not a talent. You want to see a talent? This is a talent. A talent is not a coin. It's a measure of weight. A talent is 75 pounds. This is a talent. At today's current rate of $1,189 per ounce, a talent of gold is worth $1,420,250. More than $1.4 million. In biblical times, a talent was 15 years' wages. So don't complain that some guy got $10.5 billion to play with, and you only got a measly $1.4 million. You have been given more gifts than you can ever imagine reasonably spending. You have been given enormous gifts. And as soon as you start thinking, well, I don't really have a lot, you have 1.4 million. Stop that. Trust this, that even the smallest gifts that you think you have are worth way more than you think. And if yours are that powerful, think what all of ours together are like. Think of what we have done as a church just in the last few months. A year ago at this time, we were wondering if maybe our Sunday school would collapse because our Sunday school superintendent had suddenly left. And instead, Beth Garnes-Holmes came along and said, let's do this. And a bunch of people stepped up. And it happened. And we had a good, strong Sunday school. And then we did this Christmas pageant that got canceled because of a blizzard, and the got changed, and we did it some other time, and it didn't matter. Over 100 people showed up and dropped their jaws because it was so cool. We did that. That winter, we realized that we were coming up some $70,000 short in our budget, so we did an extra fund drive, and we raised $70,000. We did that. Over the summer, we decided that one step we could take to move ourselves forward would be to renew the education wing. So half of this church got totally redone. New paint, new blinds on the windows, new furniture, new carpet, new fixtures, new plumbing. A lot of people gave a lot of time and a lot of money, and we made that happen. We did that. A couple of weeks ago, we had this coffee house and put on all this music, and lots of people were in it. Dozens of people had to help. Hundreds of people showed up, and we had this great time. We did that. For years, maybe a decade or more, this church has been thinking about how cool it would be to have a full-time Christian ed director. And this year, we put that together, and we hired somebody, and now we have a full-time director of faith formation. We did that. And we have given away a lot of talents. St. Matthew's United Methodist Church has given away money to make things happen in people's lives. Given away money that doesn't have anything to do with anything that happens inside this building or with us. All of it for the rest of the world. How much do you think that is? 6,000, 8,000, 10,000, 15, 20, 30, 40. So far this year, and we're still counting, St. Matthew's United Methodist Church has given away $57,000. We're doing that. We are an immensely gifted people. And my conviction is that God is giving each one of us gifts that we have not yet begun to share as abundantly as God hopes we will share. God is giving you gifts that you haven't begun to share as abundantly as God is hoping you will. What are those gifts? You are immensely gifted. You have been given this wonderful life. What are you going to do with it? I'm asking not as a guilt trip, not as a burden, but an opportunity, because this is how you enter into the joy of your master. This is where you find your deepest joy. At the end of this service, We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to invite you to come forward and bring with you your offerings and bring your 2015 pledges. And if you need a pledge card, there's more of them back on the table, so make sure you get one. And hopefully you got on your way in a piece of paper. If you didn't, there's more of those back there. I want you to use that piece of paper. I'm going to give you some time to think. Time to listen. Listen for the gifts that God is giving you. And write down one gift that God is inviting you to give more abundantly in this coming year. It might be something big, it might be something little, it might be something pretty concrete that might feel kind of vague to you. You might decide that you're going to tithe 10%. You might decide that you're going to pray for your annoying neighbor. Maybe you're going to pick up some new ministry in the church. Maybe there's just some attitude that you're going to practice. Only you will know what God is inviting you to give, what talent you are receiving. Whatever it is, trust this. It's worth more than you think. Write it down on that piece of paper. Here's what's going to happen. After the service, all that stuff will be divided up, and the financial secretary will take the pledges and count them all up and tell the treasurer how much we have toward our budget. The counters will take all the offering, and they'll count that up and put it in the bank. Those pieces of paper, I will get. And I will pray over those pieces of paper every day for the next year. Till next Thanksgiving. I will pray for the gifts that you are being given. And it doesn't matter whether it's really clear and you write a very detailed description and sign your name, or you put down one word and no name. Because what matters is not what I know. What matters is the depth of your trust. And that you know that I'm going to be praying for you and your gifts over the next year. What are those gifts? I'm going to give you some time to think about that, to listen for what God is telling you. But first, I want you to hear something. The part of the parable that we don't get to see is where those talents went, what they enabled to happen out there. We give of our gifts, and often we don't know what happens. I want you to have a chance to hear what it's like when you give your gifts. I've asked Melissa if she'd share what that's like.
Good morning. I'm Melissa Rollins. Many of you have seen me and my son, Kevin, at Sunday services. Some of you may have even witnessed Kevin's baptism here last winter. I wish I knew you all by name, but I'm always happy to see your faces. We haven't been coming to St. Matthew's long, about a year, but I can't remember what it was like before I knew the St. Matthew's community. Your support has filled a hole in my heart that I didn't know was there. Kevin would say the same, I'm sure. You're a wonderful, kind, caring community that has accepted me and my sons with all our issues. Both of my boys have learning disabilities and mental health struggles that make raising them a challenge on a daily, hourly basis. I'm in a perpetual state of emotional exhaustion, but when I spend time with or hear from someone from St. Matthew's, I'm refreshed and energized. Sometimes I feel your support through formal channels, like the support group for those who care for individuals with mental illness, the wonderful prayer retreat we attended last year, and events like the church picnic and even Sunday services. Other times, I feel your support when individuals reach out to me with a hug at coffee hour or a quick email or greet me warmly at a chance encounter in the community or show sincere appreciation for some small contribution of my time. I wish someday I could give back as much as I've received from the St. Matthew's community in the short time we've been here. I'll keep trying. Meanwhile, know that we deeply appreciate all you give us, and you are a ray of sunshine in our lives. Thank you.
On behalf of the entire church, you're welcome.